My friends, welcome back to the broadcast. It's Eric, the Freedom Screamer on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We appreciate you being here. So, it's been a year. Trump delivering? Hell yeah, he's delivering us right into the hands of the military-industrial complex in perfect form. Well, that's not all. He's also delivering us into the hands of the bankers and the brokers. The six Goldman Sachs operatives in the Trump... Six! Not one, not two, not four, six in the Goldman Trump administration. And they're all in the Treasury Department, Treasury Secretary, Deputy Secretary, Head of the Counselor for Economic Initiatives, Director of the Economic Council, blah, 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 blah. More foreign aid to dictators and communist regimes like Israel and China through all the tax breaks and the jobs moving overseas. That's continuing. More bailouts of big corporations and banks. Do you think they're going to say no to the do you think Trump's going to say no when that stock market crashes and it starts coming down from $20,000 and all the bankers start lining up at the public trough and saying, bail us out now, give us more money? You think they're going to be told no with six Goldman Trump operatives in the Goldman Trump administration? I think they're going to get whatever they want, and they are getting whatever they want. More privatization of the economy and the military. Getting more of that, more private bankers printing our currency. I haven't heard that coming to any kind of a stop anytime soon. So Trump's delivering, sure, he's delivering great, right into the hands of the bankers and the military-industrial complex. And really, if he just does that, we're pretty much screwed, unfortunately. I wish I had better news. I mean, I want to like what he's doing, but he's not doing anything of substance. A lot of little things, window dressing type things, just enough crumbs and just enough... So people don't, you know, completely realize that we got scammed and this is not any type of resurrection of the... I wish it was. The Republic needs to be resurrected. I mean, look what's going on. Here's the question to everybody out there. Can anybody... Do you really think that anybody... Can somebody who's going to really do just and righteous acts and help us resurrect this republic, do you think they can run under the Republican corporation and do what they want to do? Assuming that they're for real, that someone comes in and they want to really clean up this, get things back right the ship, so to speak. And I'm obviously, I mean, the answer is no, because it's not a political party anymore. It's a private corporation. I got to take it back. You got to run under their bylaws, their rules. You got to submit to their shareholders and stakeholders. That's what happens when you incorporate. You privatize. It becomes no longer this public entity that's going to be, you know, it may have the illusion of that. It may have some window dressing and some, you know, meetings and votes on stuff. But ultimately, we know who they're loyal to. If they're a corporation, it's to the stakeholders and the shareholders. What did Obama say when he took all that land just before he left office? He said a wide range of stakeholders agree that this land should be seized for eminent domain, or something to that effect. Those were generally what he said. It was a real simple statement. And I'm like, oh, yeah, okay, Terry's telling you right there, he just took your land, folks, and gave it to the Vatican. That's what he did. Those are the shareholders and stakeholders, the Vatican Bank, the Rothschilds, the Committee of 300, and the investment houses. But they're owned by, once again, the Vatican Bank and the Rothschild banking establishment. They're still in control of our currency. That's why it really doesn't matter, as Rothschild said. It doesn't matter what your government does. If I can print your currency and loan it to you at 6% interest or whatever it is and constantly bury you in debt, I can control you. I can shut your military off with no money to buy bullets and oil. How are you going to get around? you're going to, you know, that was one of the reasons Hitler came to a grinding halt. There was a chance, you know, it would have, because the oil got shut off, and if it hadn't, it might have gone differently. Let's just put it that way. You can speculate all you want. But Patton wanted to go into Russia and get the American prisoners that were held there, and because they were holding a bunch of our guys and weren't turning them back over, and they were shutting off his oil once again. So, you know, and it's the Tillersons of the world, but once again, they don't own the company. Tillerson's are replaceable. He's just a cog in the wheel. The big block stockholders of the big oil companies are the royal families, the Rothschilds, and Rome. The three R's, just remember that. Royal families, Rothschilds, Rome. And those are your big, largest banking entities, the three R's, the three retards. And they're brilliant people, and they are the powers that are in charge, and they should not be. So we do what we can, buy local, fix local. Michigan, better get on the stick right now if you're in Michigan. I know Gary's there, but this House Bill 5037, that's 5037, gives the power to a guardian to implant a tracking device into a ward of the state, somebody that they're a guardian over. And don't you think, people, for a minute that it's just people who are in comas or, you know, mentally retarded and don't, you know, they might wander off, they have Alzheimer's or something like that. You know, sorry, you're just going to have to keep an eye on those people and do what they used to do for hundreds of years, which is just do your service and pay attention, human contact. Don't stick microchips in people, because you know it's going to come to people like Chris, like me, like you all out there. These types of things are almost always put forth by a Republican, which I really love that part of this whole law and, you know, this whole security state thing. You know, when Trump gets up there and licks the boots of the police and says, you know, we're all about the police and a bigger military, and we got to keep America safe, and we got to make the streets safe, and our main job is to keep people safe. He's always going back to the same. It's another just like a neocon Bush type of thing. Hillary Clinton would make the same statements. You'd be hearing the same thing out of her, and people would see it if it was coming out of her. They don't see it coming out of Trump. They're just deluded into believing that he's delivering. He's delivering us right into the hands of the bankers and the military-industrial complex. And so House Bill 5037, beware, 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 red alert, Michigan. And also, it's coming to other places. I think there was a guy, Justin Cox, I forget his last name. There's an upstate New York legislator that tried to pull some of this garbage, bring in something about tracking devices. I think it was on certain convicted felons. And, you know, he wanted to put the tracking device on. And, of course, you know, we know it just metastasizes into the rest of the – I mean, you let them get their foot in the door, and it's all over. They're going to want to be sticking these things on everybody, and they'll come up with some kind of reason to do it. And so, anyway, and as I'm looking through these, see what the other bills are on there, they got a list of them. Listen to how insidious this is. And they're all put forth by this guy named Peter Lucido, L-U-C-I-D-O, District 36 in Michigan. As Senate Bill 0049, provision related to the compensation for professional guardian or professional conservator. Right there, so first thing they did with their Senate Bill 0049 was get themselves set up to get paid to be the guardian or the conservator, so they're on instantly, first of all, foremost, making money. Make sure they get their stealing in the realm there. Of course, guess who's paying them for that? We are. House Bill 4021, quote, allow probate judges to schedule certain hearings before minor turns 18 years of age. Once again, this one, HB 4021, allows probate judges to schedule certain hearings, and they don't, once again, judicial discretion, that could mean anything, certain hearings, that's it, and it doesn't say what, it doesn't limit it, it doesn't establish parameters or even generalities, it just says certain hearings. They can come up with anything they want before the minor turns 18 years old, and they can start making up their own mind. Oh boy, there they are coming after your children. House Bill 4171. These are all in Michigan, State House. House Bill 4171. Quote, physician's orders for scope of treatment form authorizing a guardian to sign. That means there are, that one, 4171, allows the guardian to sign a physician's order for scope of treatment. That's order. That means mandatory. If they say you got to take, you must take, I guess, or they're going to tie you down and force you or what? This is scary stuff. House Bill 4684, limited guardianship to supreme, oh, God, limited guardianship to supervise access to incapacitated individuals' relatives. That means the guardian is going to be allowed to decide whether you get to visit with your sister or your mother or your children if you're deemed a ward of the state. So they got you cut off, shut off, walled off with that one there. This is some shit. And it's all put forth by Peter Lucindo. He's a licensed attorney. He's also a tax guy. And he's the vice chairman of the Law and Justice Committee. He's on the Michigan Law Revision Commission. Oh, great. So he's the one that's reorganizing the laws. Oh, and by the way, I forgot to tell you, he's also the partner in Lucindo and, yeah, what was it called? Mananza law firm. He's not only is he on the Michigan Law Revision Commission, so he's the guy revising all the laws so he can cash in on it at his law firm. Financial Liability Reform Committee, the Tax Policy, Transportation and Infrastructure. He was also in the Ambassador Club and a board member of St. Joseph Mercy. That's a Catholic hospital. So I'm sure he's got the rubber stamp from the Vicar General, Peter Lucido. A good Republican. He's got that R next to his name, so he gets away with it. People just keep pulling that lever. Let me see if I can pull this up. Peter Lucido at his law firm. It's called Lucido and Manzella. Aggressive. Experienced. I'm going to read you from his website. This is. Listen to this. Our services. Criminal defense. If you or someone you love has been ticketed or arrested, it is urgent that legal advice be obtained immediately. Failure to have a ticket or arrest properly handled could result in unnecessary fines, costs, and a loss of your driver's license or even jail time. Law Office of Lucido and Manzella PC are tough and aggressive, and we will fight for you. Oh, boy, yeah, they will. They're making money on the laws that they're incarcerating you with. Family law. Oh, boy, the first one. Legal issues surrounding the family can be challenging. Emotions range from fear and anxiety to hurt and frustration. At the Law Office of Lucido and Manzella, our attorneys are here to guide you through the legal proceedings, taking care to avoid placing any more stress or burdens on you during this difficult process. Personal injury, if you will. Yes, Chris.
Let me remind you that this whole so-called family law, mental health, meant ill health law, psychology and psychiatry is what is listed under psycho-political warfare, a.k.a. brainwashing, which is precisely what you talked about early on in this broadcast, as I recall. Brainwashing
exactly.
Is trying to bring people around to your way of seeing things by any means or schemes they deem to seem necessary or proper, even though they may be totally unlawful, improper, and an abomination to the Creator and altering the minds of people who don't want their minds changed.
And this one results to all-out threats, you know. If you get ticketed, you're going to result in jail time. I mean, that's basically what they're threatening. It's absurd. Estate planning. It is important. Oh, here they come after your property. It is important, regardless of the size of your estate, to gain peace of mind by devising an estate plan that will make sure your assets are distributed the way you want. The Law Office of Lucido.
They mean the way they want.
Oh, boy, they're going to clean it out. They've done it here in upstate New York multiple times. It's disgusting.
Well,
bankruptcy is a financial They also provide bankruptcy litigation. Bankruptcy is a financial tool provided by federal law that is used by many individuals and corporations to get a fresh start. Okay, so this is what this guy Lucido is made of.
Eric,
Chris, can you put
Remember, Edwin Bernays says if we can convince them it's for their benefit, that their consent is our victory. So they can get you to volunteer to put your things into their trust. I was just at an attorney's office 2 weeks ago with a fellow in my car when another guy was trying to do a common law citizen's arrest on an attorney who was barred from practicing law, who was practicing law. I videotaped him, observed him myself. When he went to try to put the handcuffs on him, this guy ran out of the room, called his assistant, called the police. All kinds of stuff went down. This guy was absolutely barred. He had a 10.5 million CD. It was a 5.5 million when it was put into his so-called care trust, his custodial care to watch over an individual. And when the individual tried to get it back, he refused to give it back. He had a court order to do so. That's why they were trying to arrest him. And yet he wouldn't turn it over without coughing up the extortionate fee he demanded.
Well, go figure, huh? Surprise, surprise. I wanted to also point out to people there was an interesting article on Redoubt News, R-E-D-O-U-B-T, that we've read a little bit from this before in the past. I wanted to point this out. It says, judicial bias, how court observers can help. And so here's an article that they wrote on courtroom observers in general. And they had some interesting points here. And I want people to kind of, what I'm going to highlight here, I'm going to read it kind of quickly. It's a little bit long, but who cares? It's got some good stuff in it, some court cases. I'll try to get, let me see how long this is. Yeah, I think I can pull this off before the before we wrap up the show. Oh, it's not bad. All right, and so, and they, I want people to focus in on midway through this article, they talked about taking notes, which is always a good idea. Always have your pen and paper with you when you go and write down, keep your own notes as much as you can write down. But here they specifically tell you kind of what to look out for, and that's kind of neat. So this is a really detailed article on courtroom observing, and so I'm going to try to I think this will be interesting to the listeners. Judicial bias, how court observers can help. Many people who have attended court for a trial, any trial, are often shocked and dismayed by what they observe. Not only, and by the way, Chris and Gary, can you guys put yourself on mute? We got some background noise coming in. I want the listeners to get... Oh, that's music I hear. We will be right back after this break. It's Eric the Freedom Screamer on the Republic Broadcasting Network. It's Eric and Gary and Chris. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation. And Angioprim is the result, a safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
You're a rambler and a gambler and a sweet-talking ladies' man. And you love your loving. Not like you love your
back, my friends. Welcome back to the broadcast with Eric, the Freedom Screamer, with Gary and Chris. Thanks for joining us tonight. Get right back to this article here. This is on how courtroom observers can help. Many people who have attended court for a trial are often shocked and dismayed by what they observe. I'll tell you, that's true. I'll say, yeah, here to that one. Not only does there seem to be a lot of unnecessary pomp and ceremony, but the behavior of the judge can be arrogant, incompetent, and worst of all, biased and partial. Because of the importance of public perception of the judicial process and the degree to which the public can trust it, the courts and the bar associations have worked hard to improve that perception through something called judicial disqualification for bias or its appearance of bias. Okay, so once again, that's called judicial disqualification for bias or appearance of bias. That could be pretty well stretched out in our favor as well. So later in this article, how this applies to the Las Vegas trials involving Navarro and Bundy will be explained, but first some background, the importance of public opinion. Let's see, do I want to read all this? Sure. Judges who wield so much power and authority are viewed with suspicion by the general public. Yep. So important is public opinion to the higher courts and to those who write the rules of conduct for the judges that they have made some of the following statements. Okay, so here we go. In re antar, I'm not sure what that means. In RE, in regard to antar, ANTAR, 71 F 3rd District, Federal 3rd District, 97-101, pages 97 and 101, 3rd Circuit, 1995. Quote, because we seek to protect public confidence in the judiciary, our inquiry focuses not on whether the judge actually harbored subjective bias, but rather on whether the record viewed objectively, reasonably supports the appearance of bias. Huh. People versus Julian, 47P3D, that's 3rd District, pages 1194 and 1202. This is Colorado 2002 decision. The primary rationale for requiring disqualification on the basis of appearances, quote, stems from the recognized need for an unimpeachable judicial system in which the public has unwavering confidence. Ay, ay, ay. I wish. At least so there is some. Okay, so here's another one. When reasonable, Drexel Burnham Lambert, 2nd District, 861 Federal, 2nd District, 13 pages 1307 and 1321, 2nd Circuit, 1988. When a reasonable basis for doubting a judge's impartiality exists, the public trust demands that the court act decisively. Davis versus Liberty Mutual Insurance, Tennessee, 2001. Judges must conduct themselves at all times in a manner that promotes public confidence in the integrity and the impartiality of the judiciary. Yikes. I mean, they're living in a dream world here. I wish it were true. In an effort to increase the level of trust and respect that the public has for the judiciary, the American Bar Association, higher courts, and even Congress have weighed in on the subject. The conclusion? Even if the judge feels that he or she has acted impartially or is able to act impartially, what matters most is the perception or the appearance of bias and partiality. Courts have held that even when there is not a proven, it is not proven that judges are biased, the mere fact that a reasonable person thinks that they're acting in a biased fashion is enough to get them disqualified.
You are tuned in to the Republic.
We'll be right back.
Site by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Do you worry a lot? If you're forgetful, nervous, moody, or overwhelmed, chances are you're not protecting yourself from the ravaging effects of stress and anxiety. No matter the cause, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, your quality of life, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in as little as 1 to 2 weeks and increase your ability to recall facts, names, and numbers in 4 to 12 weeks. Calm and Clever was created by scientist Kurt Hendricks, a principal investigator in 2 NIH-funded studies on Alzheimer's disease. Try Calm and Clever for 2 months. You'll feel the difference. Call 1-800-758-8746 or go to calmandclever.com.
Welcome back, my friends. Welcome back to the broadcast. It's Eric the Freedom Screamer with Gary and Chris. So I'm going to get back to this readout news article. Here's a few more cases that they cite where you can question the judge's partiality. This is the kind of the gist of this article is there's a lot of case precedent, and they cite it here, and it's pretty interesting. I've given you a few so far. I'm going to continue on for a couple minutes, and then we'll take some comments. If you want to call in, it's 800-313-9443. You know, they're kind of setting up the court case precedent for the disqualification of a judge based on their lack of, you know, impartiality or, you know, their bias. And there's a plenty of case here. And now, and then they're going to cite courtroom observing as a way to build up paper. Affidavits from all the observers stating what they saw, the improprieties. And I've heard people do this before. I know a woman in New York who would do it after every court appearance where the judge did something improper. They'd all sit down and write out exactly what they saw, and she called it a writ of error. But I think that would be kind of an error, because under their protocol, if you look in Black's Law, the courts usually only recognize a writ of error when it comes from another court. They don't recognize it. They don't see it when it comes from one of us plebs. You know, we're out here. And so, unfortunately, although it's a great, it's true. It's a writ of error, you know, theoretically, and that's correct. But in the witches' protocol, they're going to look for any reason to throw it in the circular file, and you don't want to give them any reason to do that. You want to try to get your paperwork in as best you can. And it will make a difference. We've had some success with it here. I was very skeptical on the paperwork and trying to beat them at their own statutes and codes. And so I came in a totally kind of negative on it, you know, like it's never, and we've had some success here. So I got to really say I've been pleasantly surprised that if you stand your ground, and Chris has had some success as well as failures, and I've had failures as well as successes. It's been up and down. But, you know, keep the paperwork simple. Anyway, here's a few more cases to question the judge's partiality. This is Keeney versus Puccino. It's Keeney, K-E-E-N-E-Y, Keeney versus Puccino, B-U-C-C-I-N-O. Keeney versus Puccino. And this is the 2005 case. Connecticut, it looks to be, any conduct that would lead a reasonable person to conclude that a judge's impartiality might reasonably be questioned is a basis for disqualification. Here is McElhannon versus Hing. McElhannon, McElhannon versus Hing, H-I-N-G. McElhannon versus Hing. Okay, we'll get to the caller in a second. Cool. Hold tight, caller. I'll get to you in a minute. This is an Arizona case from 1986. Even when there is no actual bias, justice must appear fair. Boy, God, and that's it. That's all it says. And that's really simple, and that's true. I mean, gosh, that's a great case to cite, because, look, the judge in Nevada, this Judge Navarro, how is it fair to tell the people they can't cry in court and control their emotions, and they can't wear a jury nullification shirt after they've been released and all this other stuff? I mean, these are, I don't know, maybe she's doing it on purpose to get them. I don't think so. I think this is just a person who's ignorant of the right thing to do, and that's what Judge Navarro is, ignorant of the right thing to do.
Hey, Eric.
So, yeah, go ahead, Chris.
Well, a couple of things. One, I'm hoping you'll send me a copy of that article. I have a case that I'll share with you tomorrow night on the air that I think you'll be most intrigued in, having to do with the oath of office. But I can tell you from my first party competent knowledge, having a copy of the Federal Circuit Court of Appeals Judicial Manual, that they have I don't remember which one it is, it's either 12 or 13, Judicial Codes of Ethics, where they have a duty and a responsibility. If anyone is doing anything that threatens their bar, they can do anything that they deem to be necessary, proper, or convenient to destroy those people. And that's what they've done to me. Exactly.
Yeah. Yep, they did it. They added it to the Florida State Constitution in 1990. Oh, gosh, I can't remember when it was now. The recent Constitutional Convention in Florida, 15 years ago, roughly, 20 years, says that they can do anything to, quote, uphold the integrity of the system. And that means whatever they think.
There is no integrity in the system.
As if it has any integrity. All right, so let me get back to this real quick. We'll go to the caller. Here's U.S. versus Gignax, G-I-G-A-X. U.S. versus Gigax, G-I-G-A-X. This is a Tenth Circuit decision from 1979. If a judge's conduct or appearance in the trial of the case does not comport with the appearance of justice, the conviction must be reversed. And here's Duran versus Neapolitan. That's D-U-R-H-A-N versus Neapolitan. The Seventh Circuit case from 1989. Once a judge whose impartiality toward a particular case may be reasonably questioned presides over that case, the damage to the integrity of the system is done. Okay, so, and then they go into here more specifically about the Bundy trial. Let me see if there's anything else here that I'd want to read to you. Yeah, U.S. versus Cherry, C-H-E-R-R-Y, Fourth Circuit, 2003. The relevant inquiry is whether a reasonable person would have a reasonable basis for questioning the judge's impartiality, not whether the judge is impartial. So there's a lot of case precedents for just appearances and but once again, the witches have their statute and procedure, which says, well, we can have judicial discretion and anything to do to uphold the system to kind of counterbalance your argument. So ultimately, but those are good cases to cite in your paperwork. So let's go to the caller, and then I'm going to go back to, if you can make a brief, caller. We have a caller from Florida, and then we're going to talk about what they suggest here in this article to how to take notes and stuff. But who do we got in Florida? Who is it, Mike? Go ahead.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes. How are you?
Okay. great. Thank you. First time on your show, but I love what you're saying. It's music to my ears. So, and maybe you can put it up on RBN somewhere in their website. But I haven't heard all day, and I came across it early this morning. And Rand Paul, did you see this about Rand Paul today?
Did he get assaulted or something like that?
Yes, he got assaulted by his questionable neighbor, who's also a doctor, a retired anesthesiologist. He has just got off his riding mower, and the guy barged into him so strong that it broke five ribs and made him incapacitated to be a senator. Now, that's pretty strong. Hopefully, he'll put his wife in there, but this is really amazing, and they had a big question, and the guy is out of jail with a $7,000 bond.
You know, I noticed a pattern of this recently. People who do extreme violence, you know, assault, even, God, there was a one situation here, it's not coming to, I mean, minor amounts of bail, $25,000, $15,000, you know, maybe $40,000, and we're talking, you know, killing somebody or raping somebody, yeah. And the bail is really low, and they're out walking the streets, and meanwhile, the Bundys and Tom LaCavara, who've done absolutely nothing to anybody, are sitting in the witch's prison as we speak. It's unbelievable. And that's on purpose, because they want the lunatics running the street, so they're going to do more violence, and that gets people all, hey, we need more police now. We got to have more police and more witch's court, because look at all these lunatics running the street that are being let out on $25,000 bond after they rape or kill somebody or molest a child. And I've seen the most, people who are just, I mean, people who really probably should be locked up are actually being let go. And you brought up a grab. I'm glad you brought that up, because I've been meaning to mention that. I've seen it in multiple instances, especially, you know, even around here in Western New York. I mean, it's just, you know, the people that should be locked up are not. The people who should not be locked up are. And it's really, God, forgive the term ass backwards, but it's very sad, because people's lives are being destroyed, and it's.
Well, there's another. Yeah, there's another aspect to this. It's questionable whether it's just it was a random thing, number one. Number two, Rand Paul is an important senator on our side, and that has upset the whole balance. You know, that. So there's a question about the motivation and if it was planned, you know, on purpose. To get rid of him.
Yeah, you know, once again, Rand Paul is a very strong dissenter to the New World Order global system. You know, he's more or less a patriotic guy. I agree with him on just about, you know, most everything. I don't think he's quite, you know, goes far enough yet with the, you know, with the liberty thing, but that's okay, he's close. But yeah, this, you have to question, you know, these, it just seems like, you know, too convenient that all these assaults and are taking place right now. It just begs the question, was it just a dispute over, you know, some landscaping issue, or was there more there?
Yeah.
You think it's more? Yeah, okay. I would not surprise me one bit. As you find out more about this, would you call in and keep us updated on this? Because I can't research every issue. We'd love to have, you know, people who have it. Yeah, you know, you could focus on this, and we have other listeners who could call in and contribute other stuff as well. That's great. Keep us updated on this, because I like to follow what goes on with Rand Paul, that's for sure. I like Ron Paul as well.
Me too, and I'm amazed they didn't do anything to Ron before this. I mean, long before this. So
I'm sure they thought
about
it.
Anyway, there's one other thing. Here's another thing that hasn't been brought up, but this weekend there was a convention in Orlando of holistic doctors. Apparently, one of the people there has been keeping track. There has been 77 murders of holistic doctors in the last 2 years.
I've heard that.
2 years.
I heard that. Yeah, it's very disturbing.
Okay, that's all basically. Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I have definitely. There's been a rash of kind of an unnatural amount of natural doctors winding up expiring, and it's very sad to see that. Kind of similar to what went on with the bankers during that whole, you know, situation with some of the top world bankers all dying, you know, over 50 or 60 of them, you know, falling off balconies and getting hit so hard by cars they flew 100 feet off their bicycle and all this other stuff. It just was hot. It was not natural. These were not natural causes. So, you know, I appreciate the call bringing that up. And keep us updated on what goes on with Rand Paul. I did hear that he got assaulted. We hope he's okay. It's getting a little crazy out there, but you know, it's the Patriots, the you know, where the flak's going to be is right where the truth's going to be. And the truth's here, and the truth's with Rand Paul usually, just about all the time. He's pretty much on the money. I commend him for what he does. You know, he's pretty gutsy, takes a lot of risk and a lot of chances standing up there and going against the established order, so to speak. And we need more people like him to kind of come in and start filling the ranks. I don't want to say I don't think it can be done. I know it can't be done under the Republican corporation. Even Rand Paul's an attorney, and he said some things that are, you know, kind of only just not even partially the way there. You know, he's talking about, well, if we cut the military 10% a year, like, whoa, if they had come out 80% a year, and they'd still be strong and pretty well healthy, we'd have plenty of good military. We just wouldn't have all this equipment being cycled through the military and then back out into mothballs where perfectly good stuff is sitting. And by the way, being replaced with new stuff that's complete Chinese junk. So it's a giant scam. And this is why Trump's giving us right into the hands of the military industrial complex and the bankers with the three generals and all the wars that he's got on the plate right now. And then the bankers with all the six people from Goldman Sachs. It's, you know, just those two things alone put us in a really desperate situation here as far as resurrecting the Republic. Chris and Gary, can you put yourself? Yeah, go ahead, Chris.
I've got a preview for you. Here's the name of this case that I'm going to share some with you tomorrow night on, and it's Wieman, Wieman et al. Versus Updegraff, Updegraff. That's number 14, and it's 73 Supreme Court 215, and it has to do with the loyalty oath and the purpose thereof. It cites some Oklahoma cases and is talking about the oath and affirmation to support and defend the Constitution versus being obligated to foreign powers or agencies or other organizations like the Foreign Agents Registration Act. And then I've also got a congressional report on the Communist Party USA as the American Bar Association and International Bar Association that I think will be very intriguing.
Sounds good. So it says, how can you be a reasonable person? Here we go. Many people have come to the Las Vegas federal court to witness the proceedings in the matter of the United States versus Bundy et al. While support of the defendants by one's mere presence is important, the greatest value comes from being a courtroom observer and taking notes. To really add value, a person who attends court should not just occupy a seat, but should be taking detailed notes of their observations. One should put on their impartial, unbiased hat and try to watch as if you had never heard anything about the trial. One should really, let me stop right there. I want to just kind of, I don't want to disagree with that, but I want to make a little amendment to that one there. You do have to look at things in perspective and look out for certain things, certain flags that might go up, like the Admiralty flag with the fringe around it hanging behind the witch and a whole bunch of other things. So I wouldn't try to wipe your mind clean, so to speak, and just go in totally. I mean, you're looking for signs of impartiality. You want to be on a lookout for that. You want to be a little bit astute and alert. Discernment on high is not necessarily. I just wanted to kind of make a little amendment to that because I don't want people just acting completely totally neutral, because if you're looking for evidence of criminal activity, you know, you want to be aware of that. You want to look at the signs for that and be a little bit, you know, you don't want to see things that aren't there, obviously, but you want to be looking a little harder there. So anyway, it says don't occupy a seat, take notes, and I agree with that. And so one should really put themselves in the place of the jury. One should note everything that is going on from the perspective of the prosecution as well as the defense in arriving at the truth. Okay, so it says here what you should take detailed notes about. So as you're a courtroom observer sitting in there, here's what this article is suggesting that you should take notes on. And if there's something I disagree with or I need to add to, I'll stop. But I'll just, here we go. Anytime you note something, note the hour and minute of the incident. That's a good idea. The body language of the judge. Does the judge show frustration, laugh at inappropriate times, or show disgust, throw something down on the desk? In effect, does the judge violate his or her own rules imposed on those in the courtroom in the way of emotion? Okay, that sounds pretty good. Keep a tally of objections sustained and overruled by the judge. In three columns, note every objection made by the prosecution and whether it was sustained or overruled. And in the other columns, you know, same with the defense, what the objections were, sustained, overruled. That's a good idea, too. Reprimands, warnings, punishments, and scoldings of the defense versus the same to the prosecution. That's very important. Cutting off, interrupting, denying equal speaking time to the defense versus the prosecution. Boy, it sounded like the judge was doing that to me. Once again, cutting off, interrupting, or denying equal speaking time to the defense versus the prosecution. Number six, comments made by the judge that would indicate partiality or improper behavior regarding the admissibility of evidence or the testimony of witnesses. The last one, anything else that you perceive to be improper, biased, or slanted on one side or the other. So those are all pretty good ideas. And then an affidavit, another sentence. And here's where it gets good. They're actually suggesting you do something with these notes. And I like what they have to say here. So I'm going to preface this by saying they're going to suggest here that you write up an affidavit and to submit to the court. So, you know, this is not going to get you in any trouble. You're not liable for anything. You're just saying what you saw, an affidavit of truth. And I like this suggestion. I've heard it done before. It's a good idea. It gives its extra ammunition that either the litigant pro se or pro per or their attorney can submit to the court and say, look, I've got 45 affidavits here that say the judge was operating in violation of their oath to the Constitution, and here's how they were doing it. And you can do it in a page or two. No, pretty simple. Okay, so it says, even if you have only attended a few hours of court, your notes are important. You do observe bias by the judge or misconduct by the prosecution or the defense, then it can be used in the affidavit. The affidavit is your sworn testimony before a notary of what you observed that supports the allegation of bias and impartiality on the part of the judge. The affidavit is used to support a motion for disqualification of the judge. Let me stop there. That's good. They got a point to this. The point is, let's get the judge disqualified for being impartial. Here's 40 affidavits or however many you got. Great idea. So people will be available at the court or online to help you take notes and make them into an affidavit. That's good. They're offering some assistance. Affidavits, if any, from you and other courtroom observers will be compiled in support of a motion to disqualify the judge. Process is extremely important in getting justice to assure the defendants are treated fairly and that the jury hears the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So that's good. So any comments on that, you guys? I think that was good.
Well, Eric, this is a veritable template of listing the number of violations that have been carried out in Gloria Navarro's courts and most courts that we go in these days. The incredible amount of bias, the Hegelian dialectic, the trying to throw the witness, especially the non-bar witness, off their track by interrupting them, trying to dissuade them from the train of thought as a tactic to throw them off and to disturb their line of thought, because they're in a very dramatic situation being before a court when all the agents of the court are a warring force posed against that is not part of their club. It can be a very daunting and dramatic situation.
From the guards who are armed and we're not, they're allowed to have water in the court. We had our water taken from us in Irondequoit. They got the no Bible thing. They've got the
detector.
I mean, all the rulings from the bench are going in favor of the prosecution and almost none for the defense. They tell the defendant he's got to get raped by the prison staff every time he wants a shower. So he's going to say no thanks to that and then come in with no shower. That makes him look like a bum. And the jury thinks there's something wrong with him and he's just a lunatic. It's just everything is stacked against the Patriot. The Patriot persecution of 2017 continues. It's worse than ever. I pray that Tom and Clive and Bundy will all be released soon and that justice will be done and that God will cast down into the fiery pit of hell all the witches and Nazis who are responsible for violating all our freedoms in this formerly free republic. And with that, we're going to close out the show in about 30 seconds to a minute. I want to thank Mike on the board. I want to thank Mike Herzog. I want to thank John Stadtmiller. And pray for Tom LaGuevara, Clive and Bundy. The trials are coming up. Tom should be out soon. And people, thanks for listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be back tomorrow night. I believe tomorrow's Friday. We'll see you once again. It's Eric the Freedom Screamer on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Gary. And thanks to all your listeners out there. Appreciate it. We'll see you tomorrow.
God bless America and God bless the Republic.
I would be happy just to hold the hands I love on this winter night with you.